Splendid. Highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 2 degrees centigrade, a cold and bright start with sunny spells, but with scattered showers in the afternoon.
The Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM, a 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Sorted out the mattress, really, as we found in the early part of the programme. We'll be talking about those top tips for students revising and what parents should be doing in a matter of moments. We'll also be speaking to the wonderful Eric Richard, of course, from the Bill. Now, I'm going to just run a whole thing past this because although the Bill hasn't actually been on screen for a wee while, as it finished August 2010, Eva MacDonald, are you familiar with the TV series The Bill?
Yes, I am, actually.
Good. Excellent. That's because I didn't want to ask this when we're going live to Eric because it would have been potentially embarrassing. I mean, I think we're fairly safe now. He's probably doing another radio station down in London, etc. So it's all right. But Tessa, The Bill?
Yes, I've definitely heard of The Bill. I'm sure I've seen
heard
a few
of it
episodes.
And saw it over there. Yeah. Claire?
Yeah, I met someone that was on The Bill and on Basil Brush as well.
Basil Brush.
I forget his name, but he was on Basil Brush and also on The Bill. When I was like 9 years old.
Oh,
probably
I know who you mean.
Online at present, so I might actually pass this over to Mary to actually say, it's all right, we will be coming to him very shortly. There we are, you'll have to sort of take that call through. He might be phoning up to say, what are you doing asking them if they've heard about The Bill? It's really ludicrous on that sort of basis. He might be saying he's throwing a wobbly and he's not going to do it. It's the uncertainty that makes life interesting, Emily.
I've heard of The Bill. I've watched
Basil
Brush, though. <as well.
laughs> 6 years ago. I don't want to compare Eric with Basil Brush because could be into a very dangerous system there. And Fox is already doing very well with Leicester City, so it's that. And Hannah, The Bill.
Yes, I heard it, and I think I did see a few episodes.
You would have been a child, you know, literally. Yeah. From that, and even just entering the teenage years back in 2010, it's long before the Olympics. Mary hasn't returned as yet, so she might be in a deep conversation about what exactly is going on and you know, are they appropriate, is it not, all sorts of other bits and pieces there. But we'll find out. We got some news from Katie Grimerson over in Birmingham, who's delighted we played A Broken Wit Rebels last night and specifically asked us to play it again next week so she can tune in.
Nice.
Unbelievable. Okay. I mean, yes, I think it says on a request show, honestly. You can, of course, reach us at studio@sirenonline.co.uk if you wish to, as far as matters are concerned. Mary, has that been sorted out then? Is everything addressed?
I'm afraid Richard might be a little bit late.
A little bit late.
They had a drill going off in their building.
They've had a drill, a fire drill. How wonderful. You get a guy from the Bill in, and you automatically actually sort of start saying, it's an emergency.
An emergency. Delay.
Yes.
So he said he will dial in about 12 past 13 past.
So we'll dial them effectively.
Yeah,
I hope that's
it. Got a bit confusing.
I'm not surprised actually. That's the uncertainty that live
you?
Broadcasting
she
is all
like,
about.
I think he'll call you. We're like, oh.
Yeah. That's going to be difficult because I don't think he's got our number.
No.
unless he puts it through the mobile phone, which technically is not good for broadcast quality. So we'll probably have to call them again.
It might be a little bit of a short interview though.
Oh, well, you know, we'll just have to squeeze it in. That's the important, squeeze it in. never mind, we could have actually run the little live piece that Eric's currently doing, Eric Richard, at present with another radio station, but as they're making a complete horlicks of the whole thing, that would be unfair. it's okay. We know what's happening. It's all going to be good, and we will hopefully be with Eric Richard. That's the Bill's Sergeant Bob Cryer after Mercy and Steve Jones. Or is that Steve Jones and Mercy? Yes, we wish for mercy. We'll get mercy. And as we mentioned, Arthur McKenzie, ace writer, of course, for The Bill. And he was always very keen to stress just how wonderful and sensational the legendary Eric Richard is as The Bill's Sergeant Bob Cryer. And finally, we've managed to reach him. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Alice, good morning, and good morning to all your listeners. I'm fine, thank you. Hope you're all well.
Excellent. As I said, one of the writers of The Bill, of course, was always high, fulsome in his praise for your good self, so we're sharing that. He's a regular midweek team. But this wonderful thing that UK TV are putting together, I can't believe it's 6 years since The Bill actually came off the screens, really, and you know, there's been a gulf in our life since then, really.
I think so. I really do. I mean, I wasn't there at the end when it finished. I left in 2001, but when they pulled the plug on it, I thought, that's interesting. That's going to be a big hole in television. And I think the way people respond, and to this day, people will still speak to me and my fellow actors in the street about the show and how much they love it. Which makes sense that it was such a high quality show. Why shouldn't people appreciate it? You know, we go back and read a good book, so why shouldn't we go back and look at a good television series? So, you know, what UK TV Play are doing, I think, is brilliant. You know, getting hold of the library and getting it out there so that people can see it.
Absolutely. Now, we've got a fine team in the studio who will probably not have actually seen all 2,425 episodes, primarily because most of them weren't actually born when it actually started in 1984. But if it helps, Eric, that's when actually we started our radio broadcasting day. So I feel as though we've got a synchronicity from that point of view.
Oh, wonderful.
It's great. Yeah. And many's the actor who's actually gone on to actually work with us and be in the series, as well as Robert Carlyle, David Walliams, Emma Bunton, Russell Brand, Keira Knightley, a whole heap of others. I mean, did you act as a mentor to these fine folks? Can we expect when Keira picks up another Academy Award that she'll say, if it wasn't for Eric Richard, the career would have ended?
That's a lovely thought, and I hadn't thought of it. Unfortunately, I wasn't in the episode that she was in. I think I've been in the back of shot of a few famous people, but of course, at the day, they weren't famous people. They were, in her case, she was a very young, I think she was still a schoolgirl, in fact. They were very young actors. But what it says about the show, as well as those actors, is that that's the quality of the show, that even a young actor coming in like Keira had to be that good that they could go on to become stars. You know, the David Tennants, the Alec Kingstons of this world. You know, we didn't know they were going to go on to be stars, but we did know that everyone around us was a quality performer.
Hannah, you were particularly excited when you mentioned David Tennant. Thoughts from yourself? She's just so excited.
I'm just room with David Tennant, and now thinking about Doctor Who now, I can't properly function.
Doctor Who meets The Bill, Eric. That's the next generation, clearly.
Absolutely. Well, perhaps that's what they'll do. Perhaps when there's a reincarnation of The Bill, it will be The Bill in space.
I think go there. And our very own Keira Knightley lookalike, of course, that would be Tessa Snart. Tessa, thoughts from yourself?
Yes, I had no idea that Keira Knightley was in Bill all those years ago. That's quite interesting. I
mean, for a police procedural, which obviously went the gamut from being very much authentic police work through to let's go a little bit soap opera, let's go Twilight, let's get more exciting on the whole sort of system. But you did manage to capture a real sense of magic and realism for the Sun Hill fans, of course, Eric.
Absolutely. Well, it isn't widely known, but the reality is that when back in 1984, when we started the series, it was determined that they would get together a collection of actors that were almost like a theatre company who were thinking on their feet, acting on their feet. Everything was shot by outside broadcast teams, so they were people that were used to handling cameras, not putting them on dollies, not putting them on tripods and trolleys. So everything had a kind of drama documentary feel to it. And one of the key factors that remained not quite to the end is that you couldn't shoot a scene in which you didn't know there was a police officer in that space. So you never saw, if you take it from the baddies' point of view, you know, you've got the goodies and the baddies. You see Sergeant Cryer and then you see the baddie. The baddie can't be off on his own somewhere. Even when Sergeant Cryer shuts the cell door and looks through the wicket at the prisoner in the cell, when the wicket comes down, that's the last you can see. You can't see inside the prison cell.
With weather being what it is, what better way to actually spend the upcoming bank holiday than watching UK TV play And the Bill? I mean, I think it's a sensation. You can analyse it, you can have all sorts of things. Eric, I'd love to talk about Patang Yang Kippabang, which I think is just wonderful. Shoestring, of course, Eddie Shoestring with Trevor Eve, whose daughter went on to star in a Star Trek movie. Great. Holby City, whole heap of other things. But Eric, I know time is tight as ever, so have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your debut for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
It's been fabulous, and I mean that genuinely. It's been lovely talking with you, indeed.
Well, small but perfectly formed in many ways, so can we prevail upon your good self to hopefully join us again and keep it... I'd love to put you together, I'd say, with our very own Arthur McKenzie, who's written for The Bill and worked for that, and some of the other actors. Graham Harper, I think, has directed episodes as well, so it'd be all splendid to actually have a little Bill reunion. In fact, I think it was Tessa you were saying we should actually have a full Bill reunion, really. We should,
yeah, I think so.
The campaign is starting now, and Eric, a round of applause, please, for Eric Richard. And a little name check as well for Ace Producer.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
Which I feel Eric really should have figured in at least a couple of episodes of The Bill. Maybe when we get it back, we'll get the giant lizards coming out as well. Hooray!
Okay.
On the Midweek Drive, which went along the lines of parents, they're very difficult to bring into the world. And as we approach examination time, it's potentially even more stressful for both parents and the exam candidates, i.e. the teenagers who are taking the exams, to really come to grips with the best way forward. Now, to address some of the challenges that are being faced with, we're delighted to welcome a dynamic duo extraordinaire. Firstly, from Teenagers Translated, a superb website, Better Navigating the Teenage Years. We're delighted to welcome Janie Downshire. How are you, Janie?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Alex. Good morning to you.
And we also have from NCS, the fabulous Natasha Kizzy. Once again, Natasha, how are you?
Excellent. Morning.
Brilliant. Natasha, if we can come to you first before we start dealing with some of the solutions. Some of this research that the National Citizen Service have actually produced kind of suggests that actually 'twas ever thus. I mean, over the last 50, 60 years, this exam period, and it's obviously becoming even more stressful now because we're going back to many more unseen exams and the whole structure is actually changing. Mm. And it's really parents with the best will in the world trying to help folk, but maybe not necessarily sort of doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, there's a lot more pressure on young people now than there probably was previously. Certainly, you know, when I was growing up and I was studying for my exams many moons ago, you know, we were going through a recession then, etc. But, you know, with the advent of social media, I think young people are much more aware of these things. And I probably was a slightly blissfully ignorant as I was going through my exams of the pressures and the environment that I would be looking for a job in, whereas I think teenagers are very acutely aware of it now, and certainly their parents discuss it with them, and parents are concerned about their future prospects. So, you know, so they're not, it's not exams in a bubble. They're certainly aware of the impact that these exams will have on their future. And, you know, in some instances, putting way too much pressure on themselves that, you know, these if they don't get the results that they want, that they won't actually have the future career that they want, which we all know life is full of random happenings and chances, and that's how, you know, you tend to end up in the jobs that you're in. And so it can seem really, really daunting, both for the teenager and the parent, I think.
Well, apart from confiscating mobile phones, I think the other survey results, with 52% of parents using the line, shouldn't you be revising? Or indeed 15% saying exams are so much easier these days. They've kind of been standard lines that have been a refrain, say, over the last certainly half century and so on. Also micromanaging revision calendars. Again, it's that stress factor. I mean, if we could bring in Janie from this perspective. As we said, technology is having an impact up to a point, clearly, and it's another one of those ways in which we can use displacement activities, or teenagers could use displacement activities. But ultimately, it is a case of, rather like good sports teams, once you've actually sort of gone through the processes and provided the opportunities for people to actually get on with the whole thing, you can't really do the things for the children.
No, definitely not. I mean, parents, you know, parents can't revise for them. Parents have got to, you know, take a step back, let them get on with it. You know, it's a crucial sort of moment in terms of child development, in the sense that they need to be independent and they need to be feeling like they're kind of doing it themselves. But the issue on sort of mobile phones and so forth, children also need social connections. That's really important for them. So confiscating their phone is, you know, it's about cutting them off from the outside world. So, you know, what parents can do is, it's about how you say what you want to say. So you might be commenting on the fact that, yes, they're very distracted by their using their phone, but actually they need to start to self-police and manage that mobile phone use. I mean, mobile phones are a lot more interesting than revision. And it's just about being able to work, take breaks, and give yourself the reward once you've done that. You know, the NCS statistics, you know, say that, you know, it's about 38 minutes that you can focus for, and that's right. And
I think surveys conducted for various psychological groups say for undergraduate students, the attention span can be as little as 8 to 10 minutes. So from that point of view, yes, it is important to actually sort of, again, provide a variety of activities within that. In terms of the top five suggestions in terms of what parents can do to actually support them over the summer, it's interesting, Natasha, that the number one choice is, hey, parents, leave those kids alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes back to the point that Janie was saying, you know, they're in this crucial period where they're becoming more independent, you know, and they need the space to be able to work things out for themselves. Teenagers do need a bit of time out. It's a helpful thing. So, you know, so I think parents do need to have faith. It's not about completely leaving them to their own devices, but it's also about being respectful and giving them the space that they need. And as Janie said, you know, encouraging them to take regular breaks and giving them things to look forward to. You know, NCS is a fantastic way for them to spend 4 weeks of their summer. It's all about taking them out of their comfort zone, giving them new experiences. And if you can set those goals for teenagers, then actually the revision process and the stress around revision becomes a bit more manageable, I think.
And again, another advantage with the National Citizen Service, as well as giving students and parents something to actually occupy themselves with, it actually can be very effective in terms of developing citizenship and the sort of skills really with which ultimately the exams can't necessarily quantify and provide one with.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about a key part of the programme is about developing skills for work and life. So teenagers will spend time away from home. They'll be cooking for themselves. They'll learn how to budget. They'll also learn how to write project plans, etc., so that they can deliver a project in their local community to benefit others. And I think these skills, these what we traditionally have called soft skills, are actually increasingly important for employers. You know, they're really looking for teamwork, communication skills, leadership. In terms of the applications that they get, that's what's setting candidates apart, because a lot of the results are fairly similar. You know, they're expecting high results, and but at the same time, it's those interpersonal skills that are vital for young people to succeed in the work environment.
If you're looking for a one-size-fits-all and a one-stop shop, then I suspect, Janie, that your wonderful book, Teenagers Translated, which is available, is ideal, because it literally is suitable for parents of children from around 10 up to post-university. So it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it is about, you know, maintaining that relationship. It is about communication, as it is in the workplace or in family life. It's how you say what you need to say and sort of, you know, maintain that, and that parents have an incredibly powerful influence, and just being able to sort of capitalize on that and know how to do it. It's just the little things that are so important.
And speaking of little things, I must admit, I did find that the result that 1 in 20 teenagers sometimes procrastinate by simply using time to dress up their pet was probably a most sort of surreal sort of approach to the whole thing. I blame Disney personally, but obviously other mass entertainment devices are available.
Yes.
Best website to actually go to, Natasha? I mean, obviously, we mentioned Janie's Teenagers Translated scenario from the NCS service, the National Citizen Service, presumably available through most search engines.
Sure. Search NCS, ncs.co.uk, and you'll find out more about the programme and how to give your teenager a summer of a lifetime.
I don't know, say that wonderful notion of teenagerstranslated.co.uk, vital from your own point of view. Janie Dancher from Teenagers Translated and Natasha Kizzy from the NCS, many thanks indeed. I take it you'll be able to join us again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of how we can deal with not so much generational gaps, but also translating and making sure that better communication is key to success in exams and in life. Will you both return?
We'd love to.
Yes, please. Thank you, Alex. Take care.
No, thank you. Thank you, Janie. A little heads up. Number five, these are the things that children say parents can do to actually support them over the summer. Fifth place, help keep siblings and family members out of the way. Okay, Eva? So help keep siblings and family members out of the way. Fourth, going upwards, keep bringing snacks and drinks. Okay, 34% of that volume. Thirdly, listen to you when you want to talk about how you're feeling. Secondly, give them something to look forward to after exams. And in first position, just leave them alone. That's a key thing there. That's the advice of Teenagers Translated. We are saying farewell, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, und das Verdanje. And sayonara to, not at the same time, obviously, because that'd be insane, be like Babylon, but to Mary Dancy, who is off with Claire Margerison and other English people. Mm-hmm. Where?
To Newstead Abbey.
Newstead Abbey.
So excited.
I can tell.
Byron's home.
Yeah, there we are. So they're heading off from that point of view. We're also just enough time to actually squeeze in a few items from John Wenham's events diary, as lots of children go through. So you can almost be showing John. Maybe he's going to welcome them in there. The children's passed the whole thing by. Wonderful. No, I think they'll be looking out after Ed Wellman, who'll be doing that, or vice versa. Lincoln Theatre Royal, My Pet Monster and Me is occurring this coming Wednesday, the 4th of May. Star Wars Day, of course. Yeah. Don't you say any more, apart from the fact that obviously we are planning for the week after that the next Midweek Drive Out birthday special. Yeah, it's Emma Tinson.
Yeah,
the 10th, there we are. So he's got the right day. Unlike Mary, of course, where we managed to, it'll be a sort of retrospective again, no doubt, but that's important.
Mary doesn't know.
And also at the Lincoln Theatre Royal on Friday, the 6th of May. And we've been actually given the opportunity of interviewing this soul. So, I mean, if you put it to the vote here, the production meeting on air, TJ Higgs, not Hooker, TJ Higgs, the medium. Okay, TJ Higgs, the medium, joined one of the UK's most celebrated mediums. Is that like television then, or radio? No. Celebrated mediums, TJ Higgs, for an evening of mediumship. Presumably it won't be average. TJ is a true medium, and the evidence and validation that she gives to our audience is undeniable. TJ's accuracy and ability as a medium is simply astonishing. And you can find out if you wish to go to the Lincoln Theatre Royal on Friday, 6th of May. Tickets £20, concessions £18.50. We might actually try and do a piece with TJ Higgs if, of course, she might have seen us coming and ignore us. Just that's a way forward. We were also going to be saying a happy hello to the band King King. Again, King King, that was set up. Alan Nimmo from the band King King, who are apparently getting very important. They're going to be performing at the Engine Shed in the very near future, next week. Yeah. Nice. Never let me say we do a little bit of prepping from that perspective. Is it a case of shorthand again today, Hannah?
No, those classes are finished. I just have PA today, just this afternoon.
But public administration, of course.
Yes.
In case you're thinking about a personal assistant. Well, are you doing a job with personal assistants, for example? Yeah. And Tessa, is that the same for yourself?
Exactly the same, yes.
And Emily?
Yep, definitely.
Probably have a coffee after the show then, which is amazing because it's all sorted around that. Excellent. Okay, well, Alan's work was recorded prior to our setup, so we will say farewell to... We'll squeeze in a farewell before the end of the show, but thanks to Claire and Mary for actually being with us from that perspective, and we'll see you both next week, no doubt.
Yes, see you next week.
Yeah, there we are. Excellent. And, of course, that is a radio term for saying, yes, we will see you and hear you, of course, next week, because it's always important that the medium is addressed and sorted through. Okay, time for King King. Quite simply, you would be absolutely, totally crazy to actually miss out on the opportunity to catch up with King King when they're in Lincoln at the Engine Shed on the 7th of May 2016. Isn't that right, ace singer and general all-round co-creator extraordinaire from, of course, King King, Alan Nimmo? How are you, Alan?
That's quite an introduction, Alex. Thanks very much.
Essential to the whole thing. This 2016 Reaching for the Light tour with, of course, very special guest Dan Patlansky. It's Milton Keynes, Lincoln, Manchester, Gateshead, Glasgow, Sheffield, Gloucester, Crawley, Salisbury, Birmingham. And, of course, before then, of course, you've also got internationally France and the Netherlands.
It's all go.
So, you know, King King clearly being recognised as, you know, the geniuses that you are. I mean, is it a case? Because, I mean, I'm sensing that there's certainly a lot of blues elements to the whole thing. There's elements of Clapton that come through within that. I mean, what are your influences?
Oh, I mean, of course, I think there's definitely influences from all of those guys. I mean, my biggest influence was probably Free and Bad Company, and things like Paul Rodgers and the guitar playing of Paul Kossoff was my sort of one of my earliest and major influences, even through to today. I mean, all sorts of bands like early Whitesnake and Thin Lizzy and all that, all the classic rock guys. But I'm also a lover of blues. You're right. I mean, we are steeped in blues. I mean, our earliest sounds as King King were, we were a straight up blues band at the start, you know, and and like bands like the Fabulous Thunderbirds and the Red Devils and T-Bone Walker, Muddy Waters, B.B. King. I could go on all day, but I mean, all of that is a sort of mixture of what we do and where we come from.
And that whole essence that's there, I mean, the music lasts, it resonates. Got to ask the question, as far as Free are concerned, All Right Now or Wishing Well, which one would you go for?
Probably All Right Now. I'm more of an upbeat guy. So.
That's just an interesting one. Our psychologist will obviously be working through that as we speak, so great stuff on that. So far, I mean, just looking at highlights of last year, I mean, induction into the British Blues Awards Hall of Fame, winners of Best Band for 3 consecutive years, nominations for Best New Band at Classic Rock's Roll of Honour, and you finished in the top 3, of course, from that point of view. And, as we said, reaching for the light, again, really good from that perspective. Is there something magical about the live performance, though, that actually you cannot bottle? I mean, no matter how many try, and people have tried over the years, they said it's just the same live, etc. But that kind of live magical thing, is that something which is unique to obviously live music across the globe?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I think for a good live show, it's just unbeatable, you know. I think we're definitely a live band as well. I mean, we enjoy being in the studio and we enjoy the process of recording and producing albums, but really, you know, at the end of the day, we love performing in front of an audience. We love the whole connection between us and the audience that makes it the special night that it is every time, you know, and just to sort of feed off each other's passionate energy. It just adds to the whole flavour and makes it special. I just love being on the stage. I love performing. It's a great one.
And, of course, hats off to Lindsay, Wayne and Bob, of course, your fellow sort of co-team. Yes, I mean, Lindsay, Wayne. I feel as though we've electronically met each other already via the email systems. Wonderful.
Yes, bless him. He does well in that department for us. He deals with all that kind of stuff. That's great. It means I get to concentrate on the music, but sometimes he gets hard. He gets the raw end of the stick, I think, you know, from there, where the work's concerned.
Well, it works well. Now, from the sort of perspective of, look, send positive vibes now. You're listening to this radio piece and beyond. One of the news that was released, obviously, on March 29th from your good self, Alan, is that you've developed polyps on your vocal cords.
I have, unfortunately, yes. I mean, I think just over time, you know, just the amount of shows that we do, the amount of travelling, and, you know, and as most of the guys in the band would quite happily tell you that, you know, that my voice tends to carry a little bit. It's kind of like a boombox. So I'm not the quietest of speakers. So I don't do myself any favours where this is concerned. But I think just over the course of doing loads and loads of work, it's just, I mean, I think something like this was probably inevitable, to be honest. But it's just a matter of now just dealing with the situation that we are in now and looking after myself as best as I can from here until the time comes when I get my surgery. And then after that, there's proper rehabilitation, you know, a period that's going to have to happen. And we're going to take a couple of months out, and I'm going to be working with the hospital and working with professional voice coaches and things like that to try and get myself back to normal as quickly as possible.
And fundamentally, Alan, using Semaphore to decode Stranger to Love, it's not going to work. You know, I mean, it's just not going to work, you know. You could use Morse code, Semaphore, flags. It's not the same. You know, we need your vocals. It's critical.
Absolutely. So everyone just send the positive vibes, everything, from everywhere, from all over. And we'll do our very best at this end as well to get King King back to it as quickly as possible.
And I know both of our key sort of features as far as Siren's concerned, the rock train, and indeed our very own rock photographer Nick Elliott will be sort of very much positive from that point of view, as indeed will Brett, who kind of helped set this up as well from that perspective. Other exciting news, of course, a live CD-DVD is available. We just talked about the live thing, etc. But this is at the Picturedrome, Holmfirth. And hopefully the CD/DVD will be released in the very near future.
Yes, we're going to release it probably just in the autumn time. So just getting close to that, at least anyway. I don't have an actual date at the moment, but
it'll happen.
But yes, around about then it will happen. in a few short months, you've not got long to wait.
KingKing.co.uk is probably the best go-to site, as well as obviously the social networking.
KingKing.co.uk, yes. Keep in touch with the website. All the news goes up there all the time. And obviously just the social media sites, tweets and Facebook and everything's all there. It's all being handled all the time. So there's constant updates. So just keep an eye out for us and keep in touch.
And in terms of the international audiences, I mean, I always like putting this question to musicians and performers when they do the whole routine. How do audiences in Le Havre compare with audiences in Lincoln, Milton Keynes, or even Manchester, or even Holmfirth? I mean, is there a kind of, oh, we've got the Europeans in the audience, they're just crazy, you know, or is it a case of, where do they go?
I actually tend to find that's becoming the case here at home, you know, in the UK more and more these days. I mean, I think the tables have turned slightly. I think the more a band grows and the bigger they get and the bigger size venues they start to play and things like that, I think it then starts to show a slight difference in the audience. The audience becomes more of a concert going audience rather than the kind of smaller blues circuit scene where they're a magnificent audience, but it's almost like you're in a room with a bunch of your mates.
And you've always got that challenge of people who say, we knew you when you were a cult band. Now you've become so big, I don't know. What's going to happen?
Yeah. Well, that's it. But I think you do, you know, it's obviously the volume and the increase in volume of people at concerts. Then you'd notice the increase in volume and noise, you know, and that kind of thing is great. But, I mean, we've been very, very lucky so far. All the kind of places that we go to, and whether it's in the UK or whether it's in France or Germany or Denmark or Switzerland or any of those kind of places that we go, we've been very, very lucky to have such wonderful audiences who have been very...
They recognise quality, Alan. They recognise quality. It's quite simple.
Well, you could only hope so. Either that or we're filtering something in the water as we get there.
Well, now there's a conspiracy theory, but we won't go on that particular line because it's over for a whole routine. The CD, of course, King King, Reaching for the Light, the best blues rock album you'll hear this year and one of the best of the modern blues rock era. Stunning new album. It's available now. And I'm going to ask you for a choice, really. Now, it may well be a case of choosing between your two favourite children. I don't know. But would you like us to wrap up with the complete version of Hurricane or Stranger to Love? Either of those two? Yeah, and it's a tough call, but Stranger to Love or Hurricane?
I love both those songs. I love both of them. But let's if you've got the time to play it in its entirety, then that you get my respect. So let's go for Stranger to Love.
We will do that to Alan, and hopefully we'll save Hurricane for when you next return, because I think there's so much more we can actually talk about. All the very best. Don't forget King King coming to Lincoln, so there's no excuse not to actually. I mean, obviously you could go off to Le Havre, and there's no reason to not, really. but if you want to actually do a local thing, local to Siren, etc., then perhaps checking out the Engine Shed on the University of Lincoln campus, 7th of May in Lincoln, United Kingdom. In case you want to fly in from overseas, it's a happy place. And I think you'll also, I'll put in a plug for some of our other northern listeners, the Sage in Gateshead. That's going to be a good night as well, I can tell you. It's
yes,
a good place.
Yes, that's going to be great fun. Newcastle's like a home from home for me. And I did most of my musical apprenticeship in the Northeast a long time back. And we always were received so well there. And there's such lovely people. And we get such a fantastic night up there. So let's hope we can get that everywhere we go, especially... Lincoln, that's my second home, so come out and see us.
Alan, it's been a privilege, and hopefully it won't be too long before we actually see you live in person in the studio as well.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely, it won't be too long now.
You're moving on. Nights are lonely. Oh, since you've been gone. And I don't know, honey, where you've been. But it's cold outside. You better come on in. We'll be right back.
one for the rock connoisseurs or connoisseurs of rock music. King King performing, of course, at the Engine Shed on the 7th of May. And thanks to Alan Nimmo for joining us from the band King King. Okay, we say thanks to Sarah Huntley, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Eric Richard, Janie Downshire, Natasha Kizzy, Rob Hicks and Aggie McKenzie, and of course Claire Margerison and Mary Dancy. I didn't think we'd fit them all in. Of course we could, and we did. And thanks as well to Hannah Brown. Have you enjoyed your latest edition of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Hannah?
Yes, I've had a very good time.
Marvellous, that's very good. Got to know your flatmate a bit better, which is always nice.
Yeah, I mean, barely speak to her.
Exactly.
Yeah, never see her, you know.
Well,
not like
exactly.
She's in the room next.
Precisely. And Emily, another show successfully completed, do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Very good, very good. Tessa, have you enjoyed the last couple of hours of sheer fun and entertainment?
I have, I always do.
Excellent. You can listen again, of course, on the podcast site, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. And Eva, back for an hour and a half and more today.
I am, yeah.
Sensational.
Crazy. Exactly. Got here earlier, by magic.
Always important, yes, the McDonald magic, which is truly wonderful, in quite literally every sense of the word. So, well done.
Thank you.
Coming up at 7 o'clock this evening, just a little plug ahead. Sound and Nick's Vision, our very own rock photographer Nick Elliott, together with Kat and Sue Rice, of course, will be presenting volume 16 of Sound and Nick's Vision. I know, frightening, but we actually got lots of other great stuff as well, including, of course, the Thursday Drive Time, which last week actually had a fantastic interview with the Ritz Cinema and various other features. So well done for a really well structured thing there. Of course, on Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren 107.3 FM, you can have all sorts of delights. Other stations are available, as Eva will tell you if you contact her, but you know, it's all right. Just work our way through it and things will manifest. We'll be back next week with the Midweek Drive and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. I presume, guys, you'll be returning then?
Yes, definitely.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, that's the end of the programme for this particular aspect. Can we all say auf Wiedersehen, sayonara, bye-bye, or just whatever. One, two, three.
Bye.
Splendid. And suddenly the sort of sound just vanishes in its own sort of way. It's all right. We were all set there for a bit of magic and suddenly it just went, oh, very, very quickly. It's all right. We can talk up to the news if we want, or we can actually squeeze a piece of music. What do you think? Hannah, make a decision. Piece of music?
Oh, I'm not good with decisions.
It's okay. We're fine. We're good. We'll go limbo rock.